episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Conversations number 52. Fantastic. What are we going to talk about, Dave? What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, so we have the 52nd element, which so we'll kind of come in with that, which is a you spell it like this, I'll just tell you. So T-E-L-L-U-R-I-U-M. Tellurium. So tell us is going to be your Greek for Earth. So now we're talking about kind of the grounding, or where then. When we came through the 49 indium, the 50-10, or what's called the indium tin oxide screen, which is what's presented before everyone with their phones and their screens, and then we went through antimony, which was kind of the wolf, which would be the regulator, the tuner, the steering of the direction of the screen. Now we're getting to the point of the screen, which goes into transmutation. Or it transmutes into the physical, meaning that what was spiritual and what was presented, this is now going to represent the continued kind of charge, or where the body then reflects into action. And you'll see how this reacts just in what products will be coming from, or what products use Tellurium at the moment, including not only the thermoelectronics, and also ones that use, let's say, thermocouples, things like that. Anything that uses like the Seebeck effect, if you've heard of the Seebeck effect. Have you heard of that one, Rick?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, it deals like if you've heard of thermocouples, things like that.
Yes.
Okay, so what that simply is talking about the measurable, energy at between two dissimilar metals. And so you have several different types of thermocouples depending on what type of application, whether it be whether you're dealing with kind of ovens at kind of lower temps, or whether you're even doing like extreme high temp ovens. There's different types of dissimilar metals which you'll put together to where that current is then decked, and it can be transmuted into temperature. But that's how kind of these metals are used through technology for different purposes. And specifically, we're talking about element 52, which reduces, of course, to 7. So you already know it's going to be a number that deals with the manifest mind and an action. So the body in action. So what was brought through the screen with the first, or the last three shows we talked about, how this screen was produced, and you have now become a reflection of the screen. So now this is the 7, or that idea. And there's a few different ways that I was thinking we can talk about how this manifests. So how what I just said is going to make more sense by the time we're done.
Fantastic.
And one is, and one is like the idea of, the soul. So you have, and we talked about words that, sound the same, is the same. So soul, you can think of this kind of this internal thing that goes on from your physical body. But soul also then would just be simply the bottom of your foot.
Yep.
All right. And where that's interesting is if you look at the 52nd so-called demon, and its name is Alesis, so A-L-L-O-C-E-S. That's the common spelling for Alesis. And what this particular... So if you reduce that in simple gematria, of course, that's your 67, which, of course, you know is your present mind. So we're talking about that right now. But it's also the same as soul, S-O-U-L. All right? Now... So that's your first connection. But then to put what makes that interesting is when you look at the second meaning of soul, which is foot, and you're looking at kind of where we're at and what this place is that's being presented to you. Why is there a power that be that's creating screens to present messages to you? You know, what's behind that power? So then you go, of course, back to what's used by the power structure as being the Old Testament. Now, within the Old Testament, you'll go to, let's say, Joshua 1, verse 3. Okay, so it talks about in that verse that every place that the soul, S-O-L-E, which is important, it's the same sound, but a different actual meaning. One's a physical, one's an actual out-of-body experience, the soul and the soul. So it says that your soul of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you. And that's talking about the Yahweh character, remember, or the Satan character. That's going to become important in a minute. As I said unto Moses. So you already know that you're dealing with a group or a mindset or a tribe of people that have this idea that anywhere they put their foot physically, they own. I mean, that's where do you think kind of like the idea that somebody came up with the first, they walked up and says, oh, I own this land, I get to sell it to you. You know, where that's the mindset I'm talking about. To where someone at some point decided that they had the right to own creation.
Yeah.
And that they could then sell it to somebody and it would have some sort of, so that's where this mindset comes from. It's literally listed. It's shown to you in Joshua 1:3. That very mindset is shown to you. Yeah. Now, where that's also interesting, where it kind of ties in is, evidence is also just so happens to be 67. Just thinking about that now that I thought about it, because you're looking for evidence, and the evidence just so happens to be the same number as soul, S-O-L-E. Yeah, so now if you look at the spelling of Alesis, or Alosis, C-E-S, which is, in modern day, that's your consumer electronics show in the United States. One of the biggest consumer electronics shows for the year, CES, that's what it's called. And it goes into all of these different kind of topics we've been talking about the last few weeks, especially when you're dealing with kind of computer inputs, outputs, and screens. But within the actual, the anagram, you know, kind of, you have a word that has, you know, seven letters, and there's a six-letter, five-letter, four-letter, words within words. And within that word, of course, you have soul, S-O-L-E. So within the demon or the 52nd power, you have the word soul. So you see how we've tied it in, not only mm-hmm. to its name, soul is S-O-U-L, 67 in simple gematria. Within the name itself is the other spelling of soul, S-O-L-E, which goes back, of course, to your Joshua 1:3, which talks about there's a group of people that have this idea, a mindset that anywhere they step, they own. Divine inheritance idea.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing hidden in all that. So then we're in it. Oh, and also within this demon's name, you have the word locals. Now remember, there's this idea of locals are always fighting something. Locals are always fighting City Hall because they want to keep it the way that they remember it when they were a kid on their little Huffy bike, right? So then you're always going to have the locals you know, fighting City Hall type story. So locals also shows up in this word. And all, and just simply scales, I see it there as well. I'm just kind of bouncing the letters around. You know, scale. Yep, scales is in there. So scales is simply the idea of the judgment. So you see that this character is one that deals with bringing in kind of the idea of kosher. So, so this, if you know what the kosher something is, to if you spell it with a K, it's the idea of kind of salting out or soaking, removing blood or making things kind of kosher to dietary law. It would be the same with the C, but in kind of British slang, to kosher means to pamper someone. Or to treat them kind of with hospitality, meaning that me casa, your casa type thing, you know. But then, but there's a modern day word of koshering, meaning that you're feasting upon someone else's expense. That's the important bit. So someone's paying. Someone's riding free. Someone's paying. Someone always pays. And then, but koshering with a C, C-O-S-H-E-R, is the idea of just good hospitality. It's also to be koshered is, meat-wise, is if you salt meat and you soak it to remove the blood from it, that's also spelled, that's also koshering. So there is that kind of usage. But just, you see, kosher is also, it's also going to be coming up in a minute when I talk about how 52 ties in with Doctor Who.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you grew up with Doctor Who, right?
I did. Yeah. From 60, probably what started watching as about 3-4 years of age, from Patrick Troughton era. That was I think he was the second Doctor. Officially, and
in season six there was specific entities that they visited. That would have been when Jamie, the one that was, and Zoe and the Doctor arrived at Gond, or G-O-N-D, which is one letter, you know, the 14th letter in, which is removed, it would be God. Notice that they're visiting that, and the N is the double seven. It's the 14. It's the senses. So they're visiting this God's planet with their senses, and they discover that's where they ran into the Crotons, and where the Crotons were this kind of hidden power behind this door, which we're talking about, kind of, which is an analogous to the screen idea. And when they get there, the Crotons, they select the brightest students from what they call the Gons, the locals, which we just talked about, the locals. We just talked about the locals being in the world. So it all ties in, man. So these locals offer their best and brightest, and then they get accepted. And that's the same as kind of like the college system in the modern day world, where they bring you into different disciplines, and they compartmentalize the smartest to really have so narrow focused that they can't quite see past their own profession. And so even though they're smart enough to get it or to catch on, they've been too narrowly focused or corralled by this same ability to where they go into a profession, they start to make money, they start to live a certain lifestyle, which then they fall in love with, and then they know just even if they don't express it out of their mouth, they know that if they upset that apple cart, that lifestyle goes with it. The lifestyle goes with a mindset. So then in the episode, what happens is, so the best and the brightest students get you know, accepted to go through this door. And if you go back and watch the showbiz, it's been a minute. Well, those were back in 68, the ones I'm talking about specifically.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and the 68, 69 for the second. So it was in December, January. So it would have been 68 into 69. And over that kind of like the very same season we're in right now, just that many years ago. This would have been playing. So there would have been geeks at the edge of their seats already, just waiting for the broadcast that was scheduled to come out on the 28th of December in 68.
Oh, it's a huge, massive show. Massive show, especially for those into, I don't know. I've always found Doctor Who fans to be really, always really interesting, that the dimensions are always part of it, and they're much more open to things, you know. It's, it all fits into Book of Enoch, and Doctor Who fit in well together as well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, so these Crotons, which, guess what? They exist on the 52nd element, Dalaran.
Fantastic.
They just so happen to... Yeah, that's their main story. In fact, their ship is 80%, because what happens is it's a semi metal that allows heat or actually light to be transferred into energy. You know, which is awesome. So then I sent you a little like a slide that I'm going to put on the video. And the reason I sent you that is because it was showing some future uses of this particular product in batteries in the future. And these batteries are going to be what's called lifetime batteries, meaning that the battery you get with the vehicle is the battery that it stays with. It's self-charging.
Yeah,
because it's going to be using from the lithium kind of the lithium section. It's going to have a Telerum additive space, and that's going to continually then recharge itself. And the reason this is important, and the reason that you're going to get in commercial use, you're going to have a lot of this by 2027. That's like where they're looking at. So expect a little sooner, and then like large grid scale.
Hang on, bro. Hang on. You're listening to episode number 52. Bong.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Episode number 52, Bongversations, and we're listening to Dave J. Continue. Doctor Who, 1968, 69. And that mineral, so it mixes them with lithium if it's combined with something else. Is that the...
Well, lithium sulfur batteries is, and then you'll put the tellurium additive to stabilize it. So you're dealing with, so that's going to be what's coming out sooner, but then you have potassium ion batteries, which is going to be coming out later, and that's going to be for kind of grid scale storage. So commercial, kind of like big type of,
is a big story in the media that's going on now. These giant storage units for data and things like that. So you're saying they're going to use this type of a new model?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, for sure, because otherwise you have like the natural or the standard power where you have it being fed to the building, and you have to then put in what's called a sag fighter. So that you don't, if for some reason you lose city power, it
keeps
can
going.
Bridge a what's called a brownout. You know, something quick. Not if it's out, but for power glitches, it will pass that sag without affecting the equipment, especially vacuum equipment. If you're in a process and you interrupt that process, not only do you have to then evacuate the chamber and remove the product and it's gone, it's scrapped, but you then have to take the next two, even up to 3 days to get it back into production, because you have to clean everything, you have to pump it back down, you have to leak check it, you have to run a wafer and do your x-ray checks.
Fantastic.
So these sag fighters and for reasons or these storage units for energy are important, so that doesn't happen, because just your kind of your old world electric delivery system, which is being used now, is simply not efficient when you're dealing with higher level technology, to where you have to have 72 hours, 96 hours of straight time for a single process to happen.
Yeah.
Right. So that can't be interrupted. So that's kind of like what the
Have they always had this technology and they're just releasing it slowly, or they just come up with this recently?
No, everything's known. That's the thing about this whole life, this place. It's all been done. It's just now being played out.
Okay.
You just happen to be at this part of the play. So everything that you need to see, to recognize what's going on, is out there for you to see. And then, so to tell the future is not really looking at something that hasn't happened. It's simply looking at what's already in front of you and just deducing, you know, logically what the next step is and why would you do this X, Y, and Z? What would the point of making these batteries be if it's not to go to, like, what's the only thing that's causing the moving to electric vehicles and autonomous cars will be solved by the use of this particular element, by the way, 52.
Okay. Yep.
It's going to allow cars and units to have basically what's called lifetime batteries or self-charging batteries. But that, and then it's also going to allow, it allows better connectivity. So it's going to allow certain aspects of the electronical or the digital interface inside to actually work, because it's about latency. So latency is when you have within a computer is when I say one, it's the time that it sees one and sends back one, that time in between the recognition of the signal and the response back, that time in between is called latency. So the smaller I can make that deviation, the more precise the vehicle is going to be. Really, in any case, whether it be an autonomous vehicle or even a leak detection at an oil or gas plant, the smaller you can make that gap, that kind of that reflex, or that what's called hysteresis in mechanical work, but it's all really talking about the same thing. It's talking about that gap, that space between the thread. The smaller I can make that, the faster I can do things. So really, once the battery is no longer a cost, you know, kind of it's a cost variable that's a lot of people can't afford. You know, like the replacement of batteries, and when that kind of problem goes away and you have faster kind of inputs using this type of metal, which is already in process and it will come out in the next few years in products, it will then close that reaction gap and allow for autonomous vehicles to have that stopping.
So they can still be self-charging and drive and charge themselves. Yeah.
They can drive, charge themselves. They can also then, like I say, the response time will just be such to where you could jump right in front of it and it's going to stop on a dime. So it's really, it's going to be faster than any type of the input or the speed will no longer be an issue or a concern. You simply have to then deal with stopping a mass on natural concrete or asphalt. That's still always a variable until you go to magnetics, where it's on a magnetic rail, and then you can stop literally on a dime.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So then, if you've seen, let's say, the Tom Cruise movie, where they have pre-crime.
Yeah.
You'll notice that when he was in the vehicle trying to get away, they were all basically on magnetic runs.
Yeah.
So that's a level past what I'm talking about. But what's coming up is going to be, if you go to any major city, most of your taxis are going to be unmanned. They'll have nobody driving them.
Oh, it's already. I see people in parts of China now and parts of the UAE. You know, it's all unmanned taxis. All unmanned taxis.
So China also, just so you know, that where a lot of this comes from is from there. So it's not that it's rare. It's called a rare metal, or semi-metal, I should say. Just like last week's, it's a semi-metal because when it's broken up, it acts like something else. But when it's not so much that it's just that it's being, until you can produce something, there's not a worth to something. So until society has advanced to the point where they can use this, and now it's to that point, then it's not actually worth anything. It's not worth anything to mine until you can use it. So that's why this product, you'll hear more about it. Because it is the next thing, and it is what's going to allow all the new battery technology, all that kind of, what's going to be called, and I haven't seen any of the actual ads yet because it's still a few years away. But I would suggest they're going to claim it's going to say self-charging. It's going to say lifetime use, blah, 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 with little asterisks, meaning as long as the car's around. And the cars, of course, but you'll be buying is cars that are going to basically pick you up. Because unless you have a reason to drive certain things, you're just going to be going from point A to point B in a car or vehicle, which you'll have the privilege of paying for, but really you won't have the privilege of going on these long open drives places in it. It's only going to be for certain areas. Just so that's
a little 15 minute city. Gotcha.
Yeah, it'll all work out.
Well, if you're allowed to own one anyway, they'll tax them. They seem to be making sure that they're more expensive to own. But anyway, fascinating.
Yeah, you always have to give the choice of separation within society. What that means is like so that they're even within the plebes, there's plebes that, you know, it's like there's pigs more equal than other pigs. So it's like, even though they're all pigs, they're like, well, I got this nicer model of a deal. So you're still going to have the jobber car. You're still going to have like the one that is meant for the person who's self-important or the CEO. So there's always kind of that facade of hierarchy, you know?
Yeah.
Different amenities. And speaking about 52, we kind of jumped right over the standard stuff you might cover, which is the 52 weeks of the year.
Yes.
You know, at 7 days a week, which is your week seven.
Yep.
7 days a week. You know, you also have the have you ever played 52 card pickup?
I know the name. I know the game. Yeah. I've never, maybe
yeah,
I have. Maybe
yeah.
I have.
That, My uncle Butch had me play 52 card pickup the first time. You only play it once, by the way. Once you play it once, you don't play it again.
Maybe that's why I've forgotten about it.
It's when the guy holds the deck of cards in front of you and he says, "Hey, have you ever played 52 card pickup?" And you're like, "No, I've never played."
Yeah, and you throw it.
He's like,
"You want
to play?" And then he just riffles them all into the air onto the ground. He's like, "Now pick them up." That's 52.
Good old Uncle Butch. Good old
Uncle Butch. Yeah, that was my Uncle Butch. Yeah, he did that one to me. Anybody named Butch is going to pull that one on you. So, I played that. I played that game exactly one time. So that's called 50. And then, of course, 52 deals with not just the combination of the seven, but also the two fives and of course, you know, if you put a five across from a five, you're always dealing with the idea of balance, you know, the idea of balance of one's senses or one's own senses, that type of idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so let's keep going. We kind of walked away a little bit from the crotons. That's a funny name. It's like almost like croutons. But what's interesting about the crotons is in the second episode, and this would have been the one that came out in January of 69, the doctor starts investigating the crotons and what they have as a dynatrope machine. Now, a trope, you know, is the idea of like a story or a gag.
Yeah.
So it's a dynatrope. It's a dynatrope machine. That's the same thing as like a media machine. So these crotons are offering these gods or gondes. They're saying, we're offering you this existence. This is very much like that Star Trek episode we talked about with Ball, but where they're offering this existence and their machine is called a dynatrope. And you know what a trope is just in modern day parlance. So it's really, it's even back then they're telling you the same thing. And if you remember that the doctor, in order for him to get through and join the girl, to go, because they picked her as one of the people to go through, but she passed a test, and the test was just like the one we saw in Severance, where they had to do wheels and match numbers.
Yeah.
It was, they just did it in rings instead of kind of having an open pattern or open flat field like they did in the Severance. But in this one, in the 69 version there, episode two, the doctor, he's trying to go with the girl, the favor, of course. And, so he's doing the test. And of course, he screws it up the first time. And then he does it again the second time. But it's exactly what we saw before. So as soon as you see it, you're like, okay, I know it. It's numbers and it's letters and it's symbols and it's knowing what the ideas of them are and just matching them. It's like when you had video games come out the first time, you had a key wheel, which you would turn around and you would punch in whatever letters lined up, and that would be your key, you know, like your anti-piracy key in the old days.
Yep.
It was very nice. Oh, so then just kind of get to the end of this because there's only four episodes, but it deals directly with element 52 that we're talking about, because this is what powered these characters. They called themselves these crystalline beings, and that's right there is your Tellarum, because they were dependent on it. And then once the doctor he defeats them by exploiting their own vulnerabilities, meaning that he shows the locals who they actually are, kind of like the man behind the curtain. He kind of removes the veil so that they're not powerful outside of their perceived dominion, meaning outside of the screen, they have no power whatsoever. So if you give them no mind, they have no power over you, and that's how they got freed from. How they got freed. Yeah, very.
It sounds a bit like life these days with the media. Don't give them any power, and they go, no, it can't harm you.
It's exact same thing. Exactly, it's the exact same thing, and because we're talking about like the different elements we've been talking about have been building. Quite literally, they've built the screens that offer this same, or they offer the stories that people believe in.
Yeah. Yep.
Almost everyone you run into is either running off a story that was presented to them on TV, from a newspaper, a news article, or like a magazine, and or someone spreading or sharing it to them. You know.
Yeah.
Like human centipede, you know, that type of idea. Now, there was another Doctor Who connection, too, that I was thinking about. And that was the, what was the name of that darn thing? That was, they had a little special Doctor Who come out. It was the 52nd episode, and in it, it dealt also, it had the guy from, he was the, what was he? He was the eighth. Oh, he was the eighth Doctor.
Oh,
so
God.
That would have been Peter Paul Davis? McGann.
Paul McGann.
Was it
right,
Paul okay. McGann?
Yeah, could be right.
Paul
yep.
McGann was the eighth Doctor. Yeah. So there's a particular part where he deals going through, and what is the name of it? I sent it to you earlier. I sent you the name of it. It's Shearzo. And this is important too, because in this episode the doctor and the girl are the only two talking. Nobody else talks in the episode, just those two. So you have the Indiana Fisher playing the Charlie C, the big C, the 3G7 type character. Then you have the doctor, and then Shearzo, which and that's the name of the little script, and on the cover it's two becoming one, because they what happens in the episode is they go into this thing and they become one, and because they run into this entity that they find out is affecting them by sound.
Oh.
By the yeah. And so they realize that just like it's just another way of telling, it's another way of saying, you know, giving you the same story. But it, if you deal with that word, if you deal with that word, shirzo, you have the resh. I noticed resh. We talked about resh last week, which is the Semitic letter, the 20th letter, the resh, and yeah. And in the so-called Hebrew, it looks like the seven, right?
Yeah,
which is kind of how it all ties back, but with the. With another tie-in with this Doctor Who character, the Paul McGann character, he was also in Aliens 3, I remembered, and you had made a comment about Aliens.
Oh, so yes, that ties it in, yeah, 100%, yep.
Yeah, so he was in with the Aliens 3 character, and if you remember, he played was Galen, or is that what he played in that? And he was the one who actually let the beast out. Which he, remember, he fell in love with the alien, and he even called it the dragon.
Yeah.
At one point in the show, he called it the dragon. So that's dealing with kind of like your Satan character, this, that, and the other. And also, within the word shirzo is chores or work, you know?
Yep,
and
yep,
also
yep.
That it has the word kosher, the one with the C I told you about earlier, which is kind of how I tied that into that. So it has this idea of kosher. So it has this. So until these two are then cleaned of kind of thought and emanation, they can't go through and become one, because that's the story. Because what makes it interesting in Voice is that it's one of those episodes where. Just those two characters talk. No one else does in the episode.
Hey, we're listening to Bongversations. We'll be right back.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking. Click on the donate link.
Episode number 52, Dave, Jay, and Rick, on Sunday, the 14th of December 2025. Back to number 52. Number 52, the element 52.
Yeah, so did you watch those? Did you watch the. How many doctors did you watch through? Or which ones was kind of your favorite?
As a growing up, I was Patrick Troughton. My favourite, of course, was John Pertwee. And then I did watch some of Tom Baker, and then a few of the others. And I've watched, kind of growing up by then and kind of didn't kind of watch it as much. But I love the repeats of it. And it's terrible that they actually lost an awful lot of the original. So if you want to watch, particularly, say, Patrick Troughton's one of the best, 1969 was the Cybermen on the Moon episode. I forget the name, but it's about the moon base. Right on the same time as we were getting the moon story going on the media for the moon landing.
Mm-hmm.
But those episodes have all been completely erased. They've got rid of them, so you can't ever watch those shows unless someone can find an old video somewhere an original recording that they actually erased an awful lot of them, I think. So you can read the books or read the scripts, but you can't actually watch the original series. So I'd be very surprised if the one that we're talking about here is actually available. It may well be, though. I'm not sure. Not sure. But, you know, so right up to Tom Baker. I do like some of the new stuff, though, that they've done up until they turned it into a woman. I forget about that one. And the latest gay entity that they've turned it into. But I think the newest stuff is very dark. You know, it was always a dark show, but the latest stuff, I've watched some of it, and it's like fairly well done horror, I would say, you know, thriller.
And thriller.
A lot darker. I haven't watched all of them, but that Look Behind You one with the president and the little girl saying that there's some kind of entity behind the president. That I thought that was really good.
Thinking about the scares, though, what we were talking about within that word, I was just noticing is just like the Taylor Swift, the Eros, E-R-O-S.
It is.
And that's the Aphrodite kind of character, sexual intimacy, and then and people get thoughts of that, and they get caught up in the twig and berries with that one. With old Taylor Swift, they get caught up in Taylor's twig and berries when they get. So if you notice that even in that word, those also is echo. Now that I think about it. So you have echo. Echo's interesting.
Yeah.
Because this is it's really the thought or the echo, because you also have hero or heroes in there, and also choose.
Choose as in C-H-O-O-S-E or choose in
C-H-O-S-E.
Yeah, okay.
So it sounds like that's kind of like, it's choose an action, choose in possession, you know, like that type of idea.
Fantastic.
C-H-O-S-E, that's in there as well.
So were you a fan of Doctor Who growing up as a young man in America? Was it on, you know, like we got?
No, not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much. That had to come later. You know, that really didn't show up in my neck.
It was a show that was like on, literally, it was really a huge show in the British satellite areas. Like Canada, I would say, would have had it a lot more than America.
Yeah.
The special effects were woeful and very cheap, low budget. But the writing was good. And as you're saying, what you're discovering here, or exposing rather, there's a lot of it's quite heavy alchemical and metaphysical stuff in those episodes.
The whole episode I'm talking about now is I just gave you the rough little bits. They're putting it all out throughout the whole thing. They're walking towards this, the eventual little door, and they're giving you all kinds of other alchemical hints along the way.
Yeah,
all of it, the whole episode, man.
Fantastic.
So, going back to 52, if you remember back in it would have been February 7th of 2013, which if you reduce it, that's 13, that's a 4. Yeah, exactly. So that's a way. But on that date, there was an article that came out. It was right during the so-called manhunt in Southern California for the Christopher Jordan, Dorner. International Business Times, the International Business Times put out an article says that was titled "Conspiracy Theorist Calls Chris Dorner Manhunt a Hoax."
Was that you? Yeah, it was.
And it says, as L.A. shooting saga continues. So this was written by Connor Sheets in 2/7 of 2013. And this is what he said, and what's interesting, and this is where the 52 comes in. I'll read you two little paragraphs of this. And so they kind of go through the first part, giving you the official story of what happened. And then it says, but YouTube user Dave J, who has a long history of posting and discussing conspiracy and hoax videos on a popular video sharing site. You notice how they didn't even call it YouTube back then. Has released a video calling the entire situation into question, claiming that the shootings and the ensuing manhunt are nothing more than a ruse by the California law enforcement agencies looking to instill fear in the populace and seize greater control of the public. That's what that crazy Dave J said.
Now, well, you crazy Dave J, as a registered conspiracy theorist for many years, I would say you're 100% correct. 100% correct.
So this is where the 52 comes in. So a couple paragraphs down, a couple paragraphs down, here's where the 52 comes down. And the Connor Sheets, he goes, because he's talking about all the different things I was talking, he says, but the unsubstantiated theories don't end there. As Dave Jays goes on to theorize that one reason why the populace is willing to accept Dorner as the suspected killer is because he looks a little bit like this guy who've they been putting in your faces all week for the last 3, 4, 5 days. And this guy that I'm referencing is none other than, at the time, Baltimore's Ravens star Ray Lewis. He was a football player that they kept putting on the news, and he was number 52.
Oh, really?
And they kept putting him on the news for days before this. And I said, man, he looks... They were marinating the mind for this Chris Dorner hoax. Because
exactly.
The Ray Lewis at the time was the Baltimore Ravens.
Well done for spotting that.
Yeah, so then it all comes back.
The guy's name that wrote the lyrics, Connor... You know, a Connor is a rip-off artist, and Sheets of the newspaper. The rip-off artist and the Sheets of the newspaper you're getting your lies from.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man. And then how it ends is it says, as Dave J says in his clip, it's all Hollywood.
Fantastic, man. I'll give you my 10 out of 10, the Frank Skolt guy, 12 out of 10 for that one. Picking that up, that's brilliant.
Yeah, excellent. So that was they did another, you might have to get it on the Wayback Machine, but they did a follow-up news article called The New Age of Conspiracy Theorists. And it was yours truly, as the first part. So they talked to me about it. It was the same guy, Connor Sheets. And then guess who they called in as a backstop for, like, the kind of like accepted conspiracy theorists. They brought none other than old what's his nuts. I can't remember his name. The one I folded like a cheap suit on his show.
Which one is? Oh yeah, Fetzer.
Fetzer, yeah. I couldn't even remember his name. They brought Fetzer in as the second part of the article, and they had him talking, kind of. So he was, of course, misleading people away from the truth of the matter, because he would kind of lead them back into it. And then they had some third cornball who just basically wrote everybody off, like some professor from some college. So Fetzer, Fetzer character.
James Fetzer's JF, which is 10, 6, which is your 16, which is your 7. Which
sure.
Is your,
yes. So that guy's been haunting me for a while, man. And that
you
was
years. You gave it to him, though.
That was in 2013 that they were doing that. So then I folded him up, and that would have been 20, a few years back. And that was a good one.
It's an honor to speak to such a highly rated conspiracy theorist, because I wear the name with pride. If someone calls me one, I say, yep, I'm one.
Yeah, you know, world class, man. You might as well. World class conspiracy theorist meeting. We're having a world class conspiracy theorist meeting. So we went through really the last four shows I wanted to talk about as kind of one, because we went through 4950, which was indium 10, and that's your indium 10 oxide screen, which the ITO screen, and that's also goes into like the tin man and things like that. And then we went through antimony and tellurium, which is 51 and 52, which is kind of the back end. And what's interesting, so we had the reinforcement grid, which was the 49, which is 7 times 7. And you remember when I did that little book, the flesh signal 49, where and Rolo were the security guards? Yeah. Uh-huh. So remember it had the 49 nodes in it, and that was the 7 by 7, and that's the grid of reinforcement. Then where the material's locked in, and this is even on a screen or how it's displayed physically and spiritually, you have 50, which is your 50, which is 10, TIN, and that's the second component, which allows the ITO or the indium 10 oxide screen to work. That's what allows this functionality. So then we went to 51 after that, which was the remember, like, the idea of the purifying wolf or the idea that purifies the currency metals, the gold, the copper, the silver.
Yep, yep.
And then we went through 52, we're talking about tonight. 52 is like the final substrate of manifestation. So then within this screen process, this is where the energy is captured from light, or the light is then captured and the energy is created. So how then the light's captured by the individual watching the screen, the light goes into their eyes through
staring
that
at
we talked about. Yep. They get the information, because there's information in the light that's not, you can't normally just see. There's lots of, you can hide anything you want in there, any message you want in there. So in the color, you receive this. And now when you're dealing with this in the physical, this kind of step, this 52 step, this is where that mind, because every time you reduce it, you know, it's 6543. So you, now this is where the body goes into action. So what you receive from the screen, you've absorbed. And now as soon as you lift a finger, you're dealing with this. This is now what you're dealing with, because yep. this you're dealing with the work, which is also just like the demon that deals with 52, which reduces to the 67. Work also equals 67. So you're now doing the work of what you chose to believe in, what you chose as your offering, what you chose to consume. That's what happens.
Fascinating.
Because it's also 67 is also water. So it's the water you chose to drink. Remember, that's why Christ says he's the living water, and with this water you will never thirst, but with that water you will thirst. That's what that means. That's what it's talking about. Hey, guess what? Alchemy is also the same. Alchemy is 67. So this is alchemy. This is like a manifestation. This is all of that. 67, the present mind, the 6 and the 7. 6 is present. It's the cube. 7 is the mind, or the Zion. The idea of the one, where does the one Neo, you know, one, which is mixed up Neo, it's just an anagram. Where is the one trying to go but to return to Zion, which is
exactly
the entire story of the book.
The Matrix movie.
It's not only is it the story of the Matrix, it's the story of the Bible, it's the story of everything. It's the story of every one of these alchemy books. It's the story of the rough and the smooth ashlar type of idea. It's the idea of transmutation of gold. It's all of those stories. They're all the same story. They're just it's all about getting back to this living water. It's the idea of the work, and it's also the idea of the soul. And then where in the silence, which also equals 67, the truth is found. And it's also 67 equals breaking. That's why breaking news is put in front of you. Breaking, because if it's breaking, then it's causing, if something's breaking, it just that word alone has you feeling that you need
absolutely.
To do something about it.
Absolutely, right? Yep. So then, absolutely.
Breaking equals 67, as well as, guess what? There's the counter to it in 67, which is evidence, which we talked about already. So then it's like sometimes people will hear one word, but they won't know there's another word that has the same exact power, but is a counterweight to it. So if something's breaking before I reflex, just like, you know, reflexes in your muscle, before I let me weigh the evidence, because remember in the silence, which is also 67, which is in the space between those two, that's where the alchemy takes place, the so-called work of the soul and the water. If it's true living water, you're let out of it, nobody died, nobody got hurt. If you're consuming the water of the world, guess what? You've got to go live that now. If you said that this happened, X, Y, and Z happened, if you're claiming X, Y, and Z happened, then you better live like the X, Y, and Z happened. I better see you out there living every single day like that is real. Otherwise, why are you coming in the room throwing corpses around? Because if you say X, Y, Z happened and it's some wicked story, I better see shot glasses full of tears, man, that you can present to me as evidence, which is 67. See, I need that evidence. So before you get my breaking, before you break me, I'm going to get my evidence first. Otherwise, I'll stay in silence, which is all 67. So that's kind of how that works. Yeah, man.
Well, I think, to be honest, these bong sessions are probably some of the best shows ever been done. I always say that about a lot of shows, but when you put it all together, it really does make sense. Sense.
Mm-hmm. Sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sense. 5 cents. Yeah.
5 cents.
So, yeah. So, I did want to talk about kind of like this within the thermocouple. I know we talked about that before, but there's also that you have these dissimilar metals, but you also have something called a cold junction and a hot junction. So one junction, you have a cold junction, which is your reference point. Now, your reference point is what we're talking about right here. Your reference point is that water, the temperature of that water. All right. And then what's the hot junction is where the measurement's taking place. That's how the so-called alchemy, that's how real thermocouples work. So if you can relate everything that's physically doable, I mean, and this is helpful too for people if you have to do some of this stuff physically with using physical materials to get the spiritual lesson from it, do it. But it all has a lesson. All of this stuff that happens in the physical world to create these products is a manifestation of the spiritual.
Yeah.
All of it. Because it's all been done before. But you can't, no one is creating, they're just putting back together what was already been created. You know, nobody created these different things. They're already there. You just have to find them, dig them up, separate them.
Well, that's why they use the word research, which means having to research something that's already been done before.
Yeah.
So you're just re-looking back into something. Yeah. Got you.
Yeah, it's also like the ideas of lawyers and doctors, and they're always constantly in a practice because
it's practicing.
They're always practicing. Yeah, because as you know as well as I, most of the system today has been brought about by taking natural so-called remedies, if that's a word that you want to use, out of the way and actually criminalizing creation itself so that synthesized drugs can take
over. Conversations 52.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Conversations number 52, Dave J telling some amazing stuff here. Amazing stuff.
Huh? Oh yeah, man. So we're trying to talk and we're at 52 and another 7 number, and we've talked about the soul and we talked about the soul of the foot, both ways of soul, and how both words work into what we're talking about. And also, if you look at Matthew 8:36, which is, if you add it up, it's going to add up to 17, which is 8. And then if you go to what would it be, Matthew 16:26, which if you add it up, it's 78, which is 15:6. So that's 68. What falls between 6 and 8, but 7. So then what's interesting about Mark 8:36 first, which is our 8, or our, you know, the outside, you know, of the idea. It's where it says, for what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So there's your soul word. Okay. Now then let's go to the sixth side, which was Matthew 16:26, reduced, you know, to the idea of 78:15:6, or the idea of the present. That is, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's how that's worded. So do you see how it's asking you that it's something that is for sale, and it's something that is for exchange, meaning that your mind, if you allow it, can be taken, which is why Revelation 3:11 tells you, let no man steal your crown or your mind. Let no man steal your mind, or the meaning that you have to then make sure you never give up the high ground. You never be the one who doesn't do the work or accept the evidence, because the soul, the idea of the 67, is the water. So you see how they all relate. And then also, we just surrounded the idea with those two verses, which is, if you break down, the reason that these books are numbered the way they are is specific because numbers mean things, man.
Oh yeah,
numbers let you simply place the line in 1 through 9, whether it be the 1, like the light, the 2, the concern, the 3, the ring, the door, the dalet, which is 4, the 5, senses, the 6, being present, the 7, being the Zion. The Zion, the mind, the 8 being the outward details or the details, the 8s, you ate the 8, and of course the 9 being the idol, the idol being the 1-9 or the end point of that idea. So you take that whole little stack, 1 through 9, and that gets put into someone's head, and that call that idea whatever you want it to call it. Whatever big idea, World War Z, whatever, put it in there, and everything, that thing just continually collapses on itself over and over and over. Every time that thought re-enters their head, sometimes you will be thinking about something completely different, and all of a sudden just this thought jumps back in your head and just starts going bing, 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 just starts dropping on you. And you're like, oh, man, why am I thinking about this? And you're trying to kick out Satan, Sayo. Say I-O, get behind me, meaning thought, get lost. You got to get rid of that thought. So the idea of cleaning your temple or destroying idols is simply taking these little stacks, this little idea, and simply disposing of them, crushing them, taking their power away from them. And, of course, that's where we're dealing with this 7. Once you take this power from them, from the idea, it no longer lives in your temple, and you can sweep it clean. How does not giving it power happen? Well, we talked about the Telluram. The idea is that through the process, you existing with it in time and thinking about it is powering it, meaning that it has no power but what you give it. So you are, in fact, the one who is giving it power, no one else. So then when you look in the mirror, you say, you are the one to blame. Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how that works out. Yeah, man in the mirror, for sure. And so, yeah, I think we covered pretty good.
Man, we certainly did. Absolutely. It's each episode just builds on itself. Each episode is from 1 to 52, though, is a biome of information that needs to be. Yeah, and I think you pretty much can listen from, you could throw every number into a blender and pick one out of it. It will form into one living entity, and that's what it is. It's the entity of truth. And a very metaphysical, alchemical truth that it is, with these numbers and pop culture, TV shows, music, everything, it all blends in. And you've done a very another fantastic show, Dave. Be told.
Yeah. So next when we get back together in January, we'll be talking about iodine, which is 53, which we're leaving the metals. We're leaving. We did 49 and 50 were the basic metals. 51 and 52 were what's called semi-metals. Iodine's now going to be what's called a halogen. And so it's in the same class as fluorine and chlorine, things like that. And so we're
things that stick in your water. The things that they stick in your water.
So we're going to be talking about how it goes into kind of radiographic film. Photographic film, how it's used for X-rays, because X-rays is going beyond in like 51 and 52. Well, really 51, more example, we were talking about kind of the heat cameras, but with the X-rays, this is something completely different. So we'll be dealing with, and so these cameras are beyond kind of the other ones. And then kind of there's pharmaceutical applications too to iodine. So we're going to be getting into a little bit different direction now that we're moving out, because we don't get back to kind of metals again until Probably show. I want to say 72. No, maybe before that we'll find out.
Oh, that's going to be a good one, because we know that 72 is going to be a great show, guaranteed anyway.
Oh yeah. So we got iodine, we got xenon coming up, we got barium coming up. Xenon's interesting. Xenon's actually, we'll get to get in and we'll get to talk about creating plasma and actually directing metal through plasma using spinning magnetic fields.
Fantastic.
That's going to be cool. That we gotta wait till we get to xenon to do that stuff though. So we're gonna be inside of what's called high vacuum chambers during that episode. We're gonna be going through an entire process.
Fantastic. We'll wrap it up. We'll be back next. We'll be back early next year for the number 53, number 8. Be told. Fantastic. Yeah. And so everyone out there that listens in, we very appreciate your listening in. There's a lot of people out there listening to the show. Apart from truthmeets.com, the audios, if anyone, when you put this out, which will probably come out in seven days, thereabouts of the video, when I look up to look into, I Google Dave J, it keeps going back to the same old site we had, most of the shows up to, I think, 49. And then I cannot find the latest shows on YouTube when I just Google Dave J. So is there a special thing you have to Google to find the new shows?
Yeah, you can put Dave J. Bongversations and then put 51, 52, or 53.
Okay.
Put one of the numbers and then it should come up on the top. Because, for right now, it's that other channel. It's still up, which they haven't taken it down, which is great. But I have no access to it, so I can't.
I just think it's just disgusting. But anyway, we're using Mammon and the bad guys' platform. So what can you do? What can you do? But
using
anyway,
it thanks. Against them. So yeah, they don't like it.
Dave, been a pleasure. And so, again, you're up there with the greats. Be told. Fabulous.
Right, be blessed, everybody. I'll talk.
Yeah, be blessed.
I'll be bouncing to the green room. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye, cheers.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Of the human anatomy of Salt and Bad.